Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
DGS on a Friday. Dave is out today, back on Monday. And the rest of the crew, all of us are here. And we'll have George Mahey coming up in a little bit. We've got baseball tonight on KMOX, 7:45 for the pregame, 8:40 for the first pitch. And we obviously have Redbird Rush Hour in the lead up to that. So Matt Pauley and I got you covered next hour, 5 until 6 o'clock. And then I shouldn't say it's not just Matt and I. It'll be Matt and Bernie and I. So the three of us for an hour talking Cardinals baseball. And then Sports Open Line will follow that. And then the pregame will be in the second hour of Sports Open Line. So busy night on KMOX as we get back from the All-Star break and get back to business. And by the way, here's the crazy thing, Rach. Only 2 months left in the baseball season.
I know.
A little bit more. Wild. I mean, like 2.5 because it's mid-July, but 2.5.
I know when you said, you know, the second half of the season earlier in the show, I was like, wow, this is, it's flying by.
Yeah. I mean, they've already played 97 games. So there's less remaining than there is in the past. I'm sorry. There's less remaining than we've already played. So getting down to the wire. And of course, these next 2 weeks big for the trade deadline. Rach, you had an HOA story. I both love and hate HOA stories. Sometimes they're brilliant when it's like somebody's taking advantage and doing something that the rest of the neighborhood doesn't want. And other times they're just horror stories.
Well, we talked about this, I think, when you were out wheels. There was a guy who was simply giving away cold water out of an igloo cooler at the end of his driveway. And he was fined by the HOA. Well, he's...
Why? Because you can't give things away?
Yeah, basically they were like, oh, you know, you're not supposed to have a cooler out there and blah, blah, blah. Their reasoning was very silly.
Wow.
I think it's ridiculous to tell someone they can't put a cooler in the driveway that they own. I think that's nuts. Well, this is one story that came out this week. There's another story that's going around that I thought was interesting in light of this. There is a homeowner in Florida who spent a week in jail.
What?
Because of just an escalating situation with her HOA. So basically, she had some brown dry patches on her lawn. That was making people mad that she had dead grass on her lawn. Which, I mean, I get why it's an eyesore to the people in your neighborhood, but it's also not the end of the world. It's just grass at the end of the day. She also had a dirty mailbox, which I think is in the eye of the beholder, right? And then the final straw was there was like a truck parked outside her, or a van parked outside her house that was unsightly. So she's just ignoring all of the citations from the HOA to the point where she was arrested and spent a week in jail because of it.
What in the world?
Look, it's too much. I get that you have to like comply with the HOA at the end of the day, but you should never go to jail because of your own. That's her property. She owns that house. If she wants to have a dead lawn, that's her prerogative. I think it's crazy.
Well, I'm okay with enforcing the rules, but they shouldn't come with jail time.
No, yes, that, right? I'm exactly we on
don't
your
have,
side.
We don't have debtor's prison.
Right.
We shouldn't have jail time for your grass being too long.
I mean, I thought this was America, dude. We don't put people in jail over this type of stuff.
This was pretty recent, I think. Did you guys, I don't think we talked about it unless you guys hit it at some point when I was out, but there was a story of a guy who was putting his boat in his driveway. And just having it there. And the rules for the neighborhood were that if you have anything like that, boat, RV, whatever, it has to be behind a fence.
Okay.
So he put up a fence at the end of his driveway and painted the fence to look exactly like his boat.
I love that kind of malicious compliance. That makes me so happy.
So when you look at the driveway, the boat is there and you can see the top, right? There's a rail that goes up on top. You can see the actual boat, but in front, it's lined up so that it looks exactly like the boat would look if there were no fence there, but it's on a fence. So technically he's legal.
I love it.
Yeah. We have an HOA in our neighborhood and I don't recall any big issues. Nobody's ever knocked on my door. Nobody's ever been like, oh, your shutters are the wrong color. But again, you have to remind yourself, like you have to check those things when you're moving in. Right. If there's an HOA, what are the requirements? What should you know? because they're going. Certain groups are different than others. I think our neighborhood's been pretty laid back, from what I can tell. Not too much trouble. I mean, we have people on our street that will. They kept them up a lot less this year than last year. But like these 12-foot skeletons. Would be up. They were up for like. They started off for Halloween. I don't think they went down last year until May. And then this year, I think it was a little earlier. It was like right after Easter, because they decorate them for every holiday. So it's Halloween, and then they dress up for the fall for Thanksgiving, and then they dress them up for Christmas. And then it's Easter. And it was funny for a little while, and then you're like, okay, guys, it's not that funny anymore. But I don't recall any trouble. And then for a moment, though, maybe they did get a letter, because one of them actually wore a T-shirt that said, I love my HOA. One of the skeletons, not the people. I actually laughed at that, too. So it's kind of like half and half, right? It didn't make me hate it. But it was also at some point like, okay, the joke's over. You know, if you got a good joke, but you keep telling the same joke to people over and over and over again, sooner or later, they're going to be like, okay, buddy. Like, that was funny the first five times. Not so much funny anymore. It's kind of like that vibe. But anyway, the HOA seems to have, if they took care of it, if they chimed in, they took care of it quietly. There didn't seem to be any big...
That's good.
Ruffling of
no
feathers
one went
over
to
it.
Jail. That's good.
All right. Well, George Mahey's going to join us here in a second. We're going to take a quick time out, and we're going to see what's going on with the world of food with George here on DGS.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Fridays with George Mahey on DGS. How you doing, George?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
We're not stream right now, so people can't see you, but you have giant lobsters on your shirt.
I was going to say, no one has commented on my lobster shirt.
I was waiting for the
commenting
air.
On this all day long, and I walk in like I've got a white T-shirt on. Nobody's saying a darn thing.
I got the B-52s in my head right now. I'm hearing rock lobster in my head.
Well, yeah, so for one of our podcasts, we were talking about favorite summer items, favorite summer foods in St. Louis. And the subject of lobster rolls came up because I had just had one somewhere else, and it reminded me to have one here at Peacemaker out in...
They have good ones here?
They have really good ones here. And here's the deal that you know, we can just talk about this. One, I had a Connecticut-style lobster roll, right?
Yeah,
that's the warm one with butter.
Yep.
And I hadn't had one in a long time. I'm a cold, you know, the main style, with mayo. Yeah. That's the way to go. That's the only, I've been eating the heck out of those things
ever since I can remember. The Connecticut style's better.
They say that once you go Connecticut style, you don't go back. And a friend of mine said the same thing. And, you know, Ina Garten, once you go to Connecticut, you're not going to, anyway, it was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And I got to talking to my co-host Cheryl Bear, and she goes, I don't know, I'm kind of a Maine style girl. And so we said, hey, we got to have a lobster roll taste off. And that was today. And I thought, and we were going to shoot some pictures. And I go, well, you know, if I may not win the taste off, but I'm going to
win
the
style.
Costume contest.
Yeah.
So anyway, but what
so
I did
prepared all of them.
Well, this was out at Peacemaker in Kirkwood.
Okay.
They do this.
They do both styles.
Yeah, they do both styles, and they
Get
do it at all their stores. And what I didn't know, and people go, oh, you know, seafood in the Midwest. I don't think so. You know what they do? I just found this out today. They pick lobsters up every day from Lambert Airport every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh lobsters, they make them, you know, they steam them fresh every day. So you're getting as fresh a lobster as you would in Maine or in the East, which I didn't know, which is amazing. And you know what? Both versions were darn good. And my cohort Cheryl said, you know, she kind of came up with the definitive. She goes, you know, I kind of like these cold ones during the day when it's hot, and maybe at night I might switch to kind of a more savory warm one. I go, you're just like my wife. You're always right, Cheryl.
Playing it right down the middle too.
Yeah, and it was. I thought that was a good way to, you know, to sum it up. But
yeah, it's amazing that people who live in the Midwest don't realize it's 2025. There are airplanes.
Yes,
and they get from like the coastal areas to St. Louis in just an hour or two. It's almost like we forgot that there's really high speed travel.
And Peacemaker is one of those places I've wanted to go ever since they opened, and I just haven't made my way down
there. I'm the same. I got to do it.
Well, they're quality obsessed, and I that's really expensive to do what they do to fly. You know, they could buy these lobsters from the wholesaler or somebody who's got lobsters, and it would be a lot cheaper. But they know that they've got their guy on the East Coast. They've got their connection, and he ships them out every day, and they pick them up every day, and they've been doing this for years and years and years. So hats off to the quality obsessed people at Peacemaker.
Man, you keep saying these lobster rolls too.
Now you're scrolling down there. Now you want
one. I'm looking
at their photos on TripAdvisor, which is the best place to go look at like user photos of food, in my opinion. But yeah, checking that out.
Right. Yeah, it's just a really good item. What can I say? And there aren't that many. It's the only place in town that I know to get a Connecticut style one is at Peacemaker. And so there you go. Check it out. Do a little price comparison. Lobsters are in season, which means they're more plentiful. They're a little bit cheaper. Lobster rolls are ridiculously expensive for those that don't know. That's the problem.
If you're into it, prepare.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an expensive indulgence, but boy, they're good.
So good.
Anyway.
You ruined me for the rest of the interview, because that's all I'm going to be thinking about.
And in the meantime, you know, I'm just going to just look at the shirt and wish I had more. But
George, let's give the newsletter a shout out. I feel like we don't say that enough on the air, but your newsletter is so great. It comes out every Friday. It has all of the, you know, the latest restaurant news in St. Louis, and it's free, right?
It's free. And what's interesting about it is I always say it's kind of a great snapshot of what I've been doing all week, and it is, but it's also, it has some articles that have been written, but it's got a lot of original content. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of exclusive content, so you should get the newsletter, because otherwise you're going to miss out on a lot of things that are written that you don't see anywhere else, including these, you know, crazy micro rants that I do. So, but I always have an Ask George. Mm-hmm. Some of them are actually asked to me, and some of them I kind of make up and just say,
you're like, I want to talk about this.
Yeah, about 70% are asked, but sometimes I got nothing. If you want to ask myself something.
If you want to use a fake name, you can be like, it was Kevin W.
You know what? You might just, when you see that, you'll go, aha.
It was Dave G.
Uh-huh.
It was Rachel Z.
I probably used all those already, as a matter of fact. But so the question was, and this is always a big one, always an important one, we talk about tipping all the time, and it was, I addressed this a couple years ago, when you pay for a meal, do servers prefer cash tips or charge tips? And this isn't as cash still king as far as, you know, how you pay for your meal. That ship sailed. You know, It used to be cash. Everybody had cash. Now, no. Everybody uses a card or mobile pay to pay the check. But you can pay the tip either way. And cash is still king in
Absolutely.
That realm. And a lot of people don't know that. I mean, I'm the same way. You know, I don't carry cash, and it's a whole lot easier just to tip on the card or tip on the mobile pay. But you know, when it gets right down to it, the service staff and the restaurant prefer you tip in cash.
Oh, the restaurant too?
Yes. And do you know why? Because they pay payroll. They pay taxes on that. And if that tip is on a charge card, there's a fee for that too.
So they're paying taxes on the total amount,
including the tip. So it's a, hey, do us a favor and bring some cash in. So I think that's an interesting thing.
What I did know is I always preferred that, because then you don't have to declare it all.
Well,
there's a certain percentage that you are expected to claim for your taxes. Is it 10% still?
I don't know what it is, but
it used to be something like that.
And you're supposed to, you know, as a,
I mean, I'm not, not that I'm giving anybody tax advice, but
no, we can't do that for, we should say you must declare all your, all your tips, and you should, but there are some that don't. And, it used to be a big deal, because so much of it used to be in cash, and the IRS got upset because, hey, you guys aren't declaring all these tips. Now it's a little more of a moot point, because most
people
of them
just use the card,
are using the card, but these fees that restaurants pay. I didn't, you know, people just don't realize that. So
at the level that I was at that time, I wasn't really paying any taxes anyway, because at the end of my return, it was like zero.
Right.
You're not getting any back and you don't owe anything.
The other part of this tax, this tipping thing, which was really the whole reason I wrote this, was should you take the time to actually hand this cash tip to your waiter, or could you just leave it on the table? Because there are a lot, and I've seen a lot of this a lot of the time, people leave tips on the table and somebody walks by, a busboy or another server or another customer or even part of the party that just left, and palms a little bit of that tip. I've seen it happen. Not a lot, but it happens enough to be of concern. You wouldn't think so. And I busted one woman one time. I go, what do you? He always tips too much. And so she picked
She was with the person
yes,
who paid.
Yeah, and he's on the way out, and he's tipped, and she's, you know, pulls a five back or whatever. And what am I going to say? Why, you know, don't tell the server that. But anyway, that is, I always now recommend that you go ahead and, you know, find the server, and you know what, and it's just a nice, you kind of form a nice bond, a little eye to eye. Thank you very much. Here you go. I really appreciate it. And they appreciate it too. And, you know, that way the sticky fingers conundrum is solved. Right?
That's terrible.
Yeah. So it does.
Why are people,
you know,
terrible?
Yeah. These things happen, but yeah, tip and cash. And, you know, I don't do it that much, but I try to have some cash when I go to restaurants just for that reason. Sometimes I get to it and sometimes I don't. But man, you pull some cash out, it's like, whoa, there's, you know, these guys are like, hey, ooh, cash. Yeah. Like it's a big deal. So
can't do that in a lot of places though.
Why do you say
like
that?
Like most stadiums won't even take, they don't take
That's
cash.
True. Mm. That's true.
Like if you go to baseball, I was at the ball game in Detroit, you go to the Cardinals, everything, all the stadiums are now cash free. They're cashless. It's all on the bank. It's all on the cards.
I know. And that upsets a lot of cash paying customers too.
Yeah.
You know, they can't play the game, but, and I did ask some restaurant folks this question too. And really the wisest advice I think came from Tara Galina, who owns Vicia and a number of other restaurants. She said, if a customer is concerned about the best way to tip, if you're really concerned, ask the server or manager honestly, and they'll let you know, like, yeah, we're great with cash. We really prefer cash, or, you know, we don't care, or, you know, it's always ask and you shall receive.
Do you know of anything, George, that, I don't know, we're running out of time, but this is a quick answer. Do you know of anything that tells us whether people tend to tip more or less if they do one or the other, cash versus just doing it on the card?
Cards, people are more generous with cards.
Okay, there you go.
And just because it's not, you know, it's just go ahead. It's what's another, you know, $2, $3, $4. It's a card. You know, it's how we all get in trouble.
George, thanks for the lobster imagery. Now I'm hankering.
I should have brought a lobster roll. Is what I should have done.
Oh, you missed it. You missed it. I would have actually paid for that too.
Yep. Next time.
Have a good weekend,
next
George.
Time. Jesus, we
must have. Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.